Hello, and welcome to Tabletop Game Talk, On Topic, a show where we talk about tabletop game topics of all kinds. I'm one of your hosts, Fletcher.
I'm Kitty.
And I'm Chris.
Today we're talking about board game media. Turns out between podcasts and YouTube, there's a lot of media created around board games. Today we're going to talk about some of that we like, as well as some of what you've told us that you like. And we'll even talk a bit about why we've added our voices to all the media out there.
But first, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Adam Harrison, the SGC, and Thomas Accioretti. And thank you to Maria for updating your pledge. And a huge thank you to all our other patrons as well. The input threads are back. And they're back with a force because we have a lot of input on this one.
Tons.
So we'll try to pepper in the input as we go through. But there's some good stuff. If you are interested in giving us input or feedback, that's tabletopgametalk.com/BGG, as in Board Game Geek. And then just scroll down and you'll see all of the forum threads there. And remember, when you do that, we don't have any contest going on right now, but it's kind of retroactive to the last contest, but just by participating, you are entered into any kind of giveaway that we may do in the near future. All right. Media. Last week we did role-playing media. So that's our only thing. We're ruling that out. We're not talking about any role-playing media. Tell me, what do you guys listen to get all of your board game knowledge? Ready? Go.
I don't.
I was going to say, do we have like a crickets noise we can play there?
That's not entirely true. Sometimes I will peruse Board Game Geek, and sometimes I will peruse YouTube. But generally, day to day, it's more like a once every few weeks kind of a thing. And then I'll consume maybe like a few hours of content at a time. But generally, it's not, I don't consume a bunch of.
So when you are, like, because I'm assuming you're basically targeted consumption. Like, you want to know how to play something, so you go look for a learn to play or something like that.
Yeah. And learn to play I guess mainly, like, learn to plays or just kind of, like, reviews. I like to watch reviews because they'll talk about a game that I may be interested in. Or a lot of times, especially, like, with Gloomhaven or things like that, I might look at character strategies on how to like optimize or play characters in different kind of combinations, things like that. That's not really news, really. That's just more like,
well, I mean, I'm not really thinking just news, any kind of board game media. I mean, there's a ton of it out there. I think when you're looking for reviews, do you hear about a game and then go looking for reviews on it? Or is it that you just kind of, you know, oh, if you run across a game that is reviewed on YouTube, you'll click on it and listen to a review cold?
It's typically the former, sometimes the latter. Sometimes it'll pop up in, you know, like the What's Next feed on the right, and most of the time I ignore them, but sometimes it's like, oh, this one sounds kind of interesting, and then I'll like watch a review on it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Or if it's like something that you guys talk about a lot here and I've never actually played it or heard of it, like Viticulture, I was like, I've never even heard of this game, so I like went to like watch a review or on it.
I've done that before. Something I'll talk about, like I know what I'm talking about, and then be like, oh, maybe I should actually get some more knowledge on that. But actually, it's usually someone emailing in with a game that I've never heard of, and then I'll go out and like, okay, wait a minute, let me watch a review or something on that. Yeah. All right, Kitty, what about you? I saw you were looking at your phone.
I use Twitter. I follow people on Twitter. I follow game publishers and content creators. That's where I pick up most of my board game knowledge. That, and we host the Dice Tower News. So I do a lot of research from, you know, what I call maybe like first source websites. So I do a lot of combing through Cool Stuff Inc., see what's new releases, see what's coming out there. That's the best resource I have been able to find for new released games. And I spend so much time on Kickstarter, and I would say a sign of a good Kickstarter is that it has a video to play with it, and it will often have reviews from several online reviewers that have YouTube channels. And, you know, sometimes you'll see the same people over and over review Kickstarters. So I've started kind of following them, usually on Twitter, to see when they've got new stuff coming out. People, but I don't have like my go-to, like, oh, these are the podcasts I listen to, these are the YouTube channels I subscribe to. It's more like hit or miss what pops up on my radar that I've been kind of, the internet thinks I should know about this.
Question, how do reviewers review a game that's on Kickstarter if it's not launched yet?
They will usually get a review copy, like prototype copy from the
that makes creator. Sense.
Yep. And then in Kickstarter tip 101, if you're going to do a Kickstarter, have an independent reviewer. Get a hold of some people, send out review copies.
I would say more than one.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's
several.
Yeah. If you're a brand new company, you may have a hard time getting people reviewing your game, but it's worth going out there and trying, because having a video and having someone, like, you know, just put something together saying, I'm playing this game, I am not from the people making this game, that it gives a lot of validity to that. And it's just another viewpoint. And you don't have to link to those on your Kickstarter. So if someone puts a review up and you send them a review copy and they send it, it's like, this game is utter, just, oh, it's so terrible, nobody should ever play it. Don't link to that on your Kickstarter page. It's probably not going to work really well. But most reviewers will be relatively nice. And
they usually go with the compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
The insult sandwich, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, especially for Kickstarter, you have to take all Kickstarter's reviews with a little bit of a grain of salt, because those are prototype copies. So they are obviously sent to the reviewer. Sometimes they're paid. Usually reviewers will say that this is a paid review or contains paid content or something like that. So, I mean, as a person who's looked at games, I try not to trash games, even if they're really bad. I'm going to focus on the things I liked, not the things I didn't like. So when I'm looking at a Kickstarter video, what I'm looking at is gameplay whenever possible. And then I can kind of make that opinion for myself. I don't have to worry about the reviewers, you know, kind of, what is it, tilt on it, twist, what
am I thinking?
Slant.
Slant. Spin.
Their own personal opinion, really. Right. Like, I mean, I think that between you and me, we have so much experience backing Kickstarters and following campaigns that, like, we could come up with, hey, if you want to create a Kickstarter, I will give you the 10 things that you need to have on your Kickstarter page to have it be successful.
Yep. So, but, all right. So that's interesting that you guys don't really listen. You don't have any regular content that you listen to, though.
No.
So here's the thing. I think we talked about this a little bit in RPGs, because we were talking about RPG media and how we are trying to create our own. So with board games and with RPGs, I'm on the complete opposite side. I take in a ton of RPG content. I listen to it all. So I feel like I've got enough different voices in my head that I'm not letting one of them influence me. But with board games, I feel like I'd have to add so much more content to my thing to not have myself spout somebody else's opinions by accident, that it's like a huge undertaking. I can't just start listening to one podcast.
All right. Well, then, speaking of not listening to one podcast, so I put a list up of the podcasts that I listen to. And, well, just the media in general I can consume. So I'm going to quickly go over this, and then I'm going to go back and touch on a few, because there's different reasons why I listen to these different things. So first of all, the Dice Tower. I think that this was probably the first board game podcast I even realized existed. And it's not uncommon. I mean, it is the most popular podcast out there for board games. And their format was very interesting to me, because what they do is at the beginning, they go back and forth and talk about games they've played, give a little bit of a, this is how it plays and whether or not they liked it. And they'll go over probably 6 or 7 games an episode where it's like, oh, I didn't even know this game existed. And a lot of times, especially, you know, a couple years ago when I first started listening to it, or 3 or 4 years ago, now I, 4 or 5 years ago? Wow, we've been doing this a long time. But anyway, when I first started listening to this, I would go out and they'd be talking about a game and I'd just go and I'd buy it. And I'd buy it and I'd just buy the next game. If it sounded any way interesting, I would just buy it. And I got a lot of games that way and got familiar with a lot of games doing that. But then they also do like top 10s. So it depends. They've been doing a long time, so they run low on things. But like top 10 space games or top 10 dexterity games or top 10 whatever. Right now they're doing top 10 games that start with the letter A, B, C. They're doing the alphabet. So
alphabet games.
They're literally running out of topics, I think. So they're every other episode, they're doing a different letter. So top 10 games that start with A, B. And I think they just got done with C. So in 2 weeks, they'll do, you know, D.
Dominoes.
They rarely say dominoes. There's very, very few mass market games that they mention. Although there are some sometimes, but relatively rare. Another, so the Dice Tower is the network that we're part of. And so they have a ton of podcasts on their network. And I listened to a couple other ones on there. Ludology is one of them. They just won the Golden Geek Award for Best Board Game Podcast. Ludology I listen to because they are designers talking about basically the design of games. And they'll interview different people sometimes and they'll focus on a particular topic. So it's interesting if you have any interest in how games get made or wanting to make games. You should be listening to Ludology. And then I also listened to Board Game Insider, which is Stephen Bonacor from Stronghold Games and Ignacy Cevicek from Portal Games. They have a weekly podcast, usually weekly, where they talk about the industry as a whole, like a lot of times focusing on their companies, but they'll go through industry news and have commentary on that. They answer questions and then they kind of give an update for their companies as well. So those two podcasts are really... there's a lot of information in there and they're coming from that from a completely different way. Like rarely do either of these two podcasts talk about games. Ludology will sometimes do a deep dive. They did a deep dive into the mind. I think that was the last one they did. Like how, why does the mind work the way it is? Why? Well, not our minds, but the game, the mind, but not the game, the game. That's a different thing, but it looks the same. But anyway, but yeah, so Ludology and Board Game Insider are great ones. Board Game Insider, I don't do it often, but sometimes that will point me to articles for Dice Tower News. So something might be mentioned on Board Game Insider. I'm like, oh, that'll be an interesting just general news topic. So I'll go check that out. Then on the side of this one, I started listening to recently. And I've mentioned to it recently, but on the side of like retail store owners, I listen to the Covenant Cast. And this is usually there's two, I think there's three people and they'll usually have at least two of them on the podcast, but this is, they're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. They run a game store called, I think it's the Covenant or something like that. They have a website, teamcovenant.com, where they sell a lot of Fantasy Flight stuff and custom stuff for that. But they talk about the industry from a store owner side of things, which is also very interesting. And they're they've become topical, a lot like us, where they just kind of pick a topic and that's what they talk about. But they are obviously coming at it from a different viewpoint than anyone else I listen to. And then I guess I'm trying to see if these are, I think those are the main board game podcasts. There's another one I listen to that's called The Download, which is Keith Baker and Andy Looney. Keith Baker is the creator of the Eberron setting. He did Gloom, the card game. He's recently done Illimat. He's done Scott.
I need to get that game.
Illimat?
Yeah. Somebody was just tweeting about it.
Yeah.
No, I do.
It's pretty bad.
I've heard good things, and I feel like you wouldn't like it, but that it's right up my alley because... isn't this the one that the Decemberists, the band? Yeah.
Yep.
And I love the Decemberists.
Well, and the thing is, and I owned it for a little while. It's not bad. It's just, it may work for like family cabin gaming type of things. You go.
Yeah. It's just not enough for you.
Yeah.
I know. You're too good for these things.
No. Cause I like a lot of his stuff. And I mean, I listen to the podcast because I like listening to the guys talk. Andy Looney is, from Looney Labs. He's probably best known for, Flux, but he also has published the Pyramid Arcade, which is, listen to our episode 13, where we talk all about the Pyramid Arcade, box set. So I listen to that. They mostly though just talk about their life. Like they're just friends and they call each other once a week and record the phone call, and they talk a lot about media like TV shows and stuff.
Do they sometimes talk about how Chris didn't get to beat Andy Looney at Homeworlds but his wife did?
No, and we wanted him to, because normally he does. Whenever he loses a medal, he'll mention it on the podcast, and I think he was so salty about that particular loss where Sydney beat him that he never mentioned it on the podcast. But Andy Looney, though, he's actually did a really good job. When we did episode 13, he promoted it on his website, and that actually did wonders for our numbers. We were a really young, fledgling podcast at that point, and we jumped by several hundred users overnight doing that. I don't know why we don't feature games more often. I don't know. That's just not our style. We just normally don't do that.
We're not that good at focusing.
No, we're not. and then in the game design aspect, so I listen to a decent number of game design podcast, I guess. The Game Crafter has an official podcast as well. And this, the Game Crafter is a website where you can go and have like individual copies of games printed. So you can design a game, you upload, you know, your art assets, what your cards look like and whatnot, and they will print one-off copies of games. It's a great place to get prototypes, but it's also a great place to just, you know, put a board game out there, and they have a store so you can put it up there and people can come and buy your game. Your margins are like practically non-existent. On a $50 game, you might be making $2 or $3, but that's not really the point of putting like an independent game out there. But you can get a lot of cool games at the Game Crafter. So if you want ever wanted to check it out. And their podcast just talks about the stuff that's new there. They have people write in, ask about questions and game design and things like that. And I really like doing that. All right. I could keep going. Actually, I'm going to keep going, but I'm going to pause for a moment. Questions, comments on Let's those?
Get on the Chris train. Choo-choo.
Well, so, and then one of the things about doing this podcast is I listen to all of this stuff, and this is my way of like talking back to the ether. So I'm like, I hear all these things. I'm like, oh, listening.
Shouting into space.
It is. Like, I want to say something about this stuff. And that's where I get a lot of our topics from, is listening to these different things. And every once in a while, something will come up. It'll be a, you know, offhand comment or something. And I'll put it into my topic list saying, oh, this would be an interesting thing to talk about. And you guys have no comments, but that's fine. I will keep talking.
I'm sorry. I'm actually subscribing to the Ludology podcast right now because I keep meaning to and I forget.
And that is
why is it called Ludology?
There's actually, it's because if you look it up, as a Does definition, it actually means something. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to Google it.
I used to know what it meant, but I don't.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm trying to read the description here and tell me.
The study of games and gaming, especially video games.
There you go.
There you go.
So, and they talk a little bit about video games. Like, they're both video game players, so they'll relate things back. But they mostly are focusing on board games and board game issues that come to it. Actually, one of their most recent episodes was talking about it's a roguelike game, a roguelike deck builder video game, but it could be, it's a deck builder video
game. It's a deck builder, but video game.
Yes.
And roguelike.
Yes. And roguelike being random dungeon, you go through, kill monsters, gain stuff, so you can kill stronger monsters, gain stuff, but when you're dead, you're dead.
You die and you start again.
And you start fresh, yeah.
Do our listeners know what rogue is? Roguelike?
Why don't you tell them?
So, as far as I know, it was a text-based adventure game, right? That was called Rogue.
Yep.
And it was randomly generated, and then you typically wouldn't get very far, and you would die, and then you would just like start again, and everything would be but you would get better and better at this game as you played it over and over again. So now that genre is called roguelike after like the first incarnation, or at least the first major one.
Yep.
You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's basically it. The first major roguelike was Diablo. So pick your flavor of Diablo. They're all essentially roguelikes, where if you play Diablo on hardcore mode, where when you're dead, you're dead, you're essentially playing Rogue. But yeah, the original Rogue, it was all ASCII. It was equal signs and letters. And, you know, if you were attacking a zombie, you were attacking the letter Z. And your adventurer was, you know, you're an A running around the board. Actually, I don't think you were an A, but you were something running around the board. And you'd find potions and scrolls. And all of those were different, like, ASCII symbols you were picking up. And, in the 90s, I played this game to death. Because you could play it in your computer class, literally, and nobody would know. That's true. Nobody would know. And when it had, basically, we remembered where you died. So later on, if you got to the same level that you were before, you'd meet your ghost. So occasionally your ghost would come.
It is like Diablo.
Yeah.
That's also a Hollow Knight thing.
They all come from, yeah, Rogue created an industry. And now it's a adjective. Is that right? Adjective? Roguelike? Roguish.
Yeah. And if you kill your ghost in Hollow Knight, you get all of your money you were carrying back.
Yeah, I think that depending on the flavor of Rogue, because Rogue was an open source game as well, so people could take it and they would modify it. And depending on the flavor of it, you could have all kinds of different things. They have, you know, classes and races and things like that, starting equipment. I remember running around as a photographer and you had a camera and you would just take pictures of things and that would cause them to be blind and then things would run around, but then you would be blind and you couldn't see where you were going. And it was so, so good. But anyway, Lootology did an interview with a guy who did a game, a deck builder, a video game for it. So that's the kind of stuff that Lootology does. And I really like that. All right. So those are my podcasts. Now for the stuff that I watch for reviews. One of the biggest ones is Rotto. Rotto does tons and tons and tons of Kickstarter stuff. And he actually has a podcast called Rotto Talks Through. It's a monthly podcast. It's usually between 2 and 3 hours long. And I listen to every minute of it. It's just super interesting. He has a game section. He has his like top 10 review section where he goes over feedback from one of his top 10 videos. And then he'll go over game questions. He'll go over games that he's interested in. So he has like dozens and dozens of games that he was like, and this month, these are the games I'm most interested in. And then he'll go over questions from listeners on games. And then he has his own personal, the very last part is like personal questions that you can ask. So you really get to know Rotto. Well, Richard Hamm is his name. But you really get to know him on a personal level. He doesn't get to know you. It's podcasting. It's a one-way thing, but it's very interesting. And what sets Rotto apart from most other reviewers is he will do a final thoughts, but what he does is he just plays the game in front of you. He plays a two-player game side by side. It's him and his wife, Jen, but Jen's never there. It's him and her, and he plays both sides. And so you can actually watch the game be played, and you can decide whether or not you like how the game works. And then he'll give you his final thoughts, what he likes about it. One of the things that he does, though, is he always reads the rule book before he just agrees to do a video on it. And he says he doesn't review games that he doesn't think he'll like. So his final thoughts are usually he'll like it. Their biggest thing is they don't like take that games. They don't like stuff that's like too competitive. So if you're a two-player household and you don't want to be like super cutthroat, you have his similar tastes.
I have actually encountered him in many of the... This is one of the people I see on Kickstarter all the time that I will often... So, like, you know, a lot of Kickstarters will have, like, you know, 3 or 4 reviews all linked in a row. I will often go to Rotto first.
Yeah.
To see. Because I feel like you get a really good feel for the game, much more so than some reviewers. You get a lot of... I get a really good feel for that reviewer. Yep. Not necessarily the game.
Well, and that's the most important thing when you're looking at different media things is finding a reviewer that likes what you like.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why like the Dice Tower has a bunch of different reviewers and they don't like the same games. And that's great because then you can like, oh, I really have the same taste as whoever. And that's the person I'm going to watch. And if they like a game, I'm likely going to like it. And if they don't like a game, I probably won't like it. And it's useful to have that one reviewer that you can go to and like you trust that reviewer.
I actually read an article the other day. I can't remember who it was by, but they said 3 popular games that everyone likes, but I don't. And it was like 2 of my favorite games and then a game I hadn't played. And I was like, oh man, I have to go pick up this game. I obviously have the exact opposite taste of this guy. So like it was like Time Stories and Key Forge and something else. And I was like, oh, I should go pick it up.
Yeah, well, and that happens quite often where someone will mention a game and I'm like, wait a minute, you like the same types of games I have. You just said something that I have no idea what you're talking about. Now I need to go do some research on that. So there are a few YouTube... I subscribed to Rotto. I just subscribed to Watch It Played. If you don't know what Watch It Played is, you should. Watch It Played is... He doesn't. So Rodney Smith, he's Canadian and he's been doing this for years now. And did you just say Canadian A?
I just added the A.
Very nice. Very nice. But yeah, so he's been doing it for a while. He now is partnered or like connected to Board Game Geek. So he'll do a lot of Board Game Geek stuff. But he does essentially reads the rule book to you. And shows you how to play different games. And if they're...
But in a super interesting way.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you know, Ben Stein, like, here's the rule book. We're going to listen to it. Exactly. Bueller. No, you get like a really good... He does a very good job of... Especially if a game has a disorganized rule book that I have a hard time picking up, I will stop trying to read the rule book and go watch It Played. Because he does a very good job of presenting it in a... fashion that makes sense for how you play the game.
Yep. If he's done a Watch It Played on it, then you should watch it there. There's a bunch of other YouTube's channels that do how to plays, and they're not bad. But if Rodney has done one, I'm going to start there. And then I might go to, let's see, I think there's, it's called Gaming Rules. And then there's the Rules Girl. And she's kind of cool because she'll do how to play in like 3 to 5 minutes. So it's like super, super short.
Yeah. Yeah. She gives you a very comprehensive run through. Usually like 20 to 30 minutes, I would say.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, yeah, I would say 20 minutes is probably the minimum, up to 45 minutes.
Yeah. So. Depending on how much game there is, is how much content you'll get.
Well, and the cool thing with him is a lot of the games, he will end up doing a playthrough as well. So he will do how to play it, and then he'll do like a 3 to 5 episode series of playing a game with a friend of his or his son, and they will stop at certain points and then get input from the listener or the viewers as to what they should do on their next turn.
What move should I do? Yeah.
Yep. So you can actually watch, not only learn to have it played to you, but you can watch it being played as well, which I guess it works with the name, Watch It Played. There is a reviewer that I mentioned on the Dice Tower News a couple of weeks ago. I guess they're, I think they're husband and wife, but no pun included. They're British reviewers. They are brutal in their like feedback for the negative sides of the game, but they do a good job talking about the game. They're very humorous. I will watch them review just about anything just because it's hilarious. But it pains me every time they review something that I really like, and then we get to the end and then they're like, and here's why this game sucks, and then they go on and on. But probably my favorite YouTube channel just to watch for entertainment purposes is called Inside the Box. And they do a monthly, it's almost like a TV show where they pick a game and they play the game, and it's sort of like they're in the game, or the game is like part of their life. It is so good. I binge watched this once and I just watched everything I could about it. And then I think I back them on their Patreon, and I just wait for the newest stuff to come out every single time. It is amazing. If you guys don't watch anything at all, watch Inside the Box. However, I will say it is probably more adult. I would definitely adult. I would say it's rated R. It's definitely
rated M for mature.
Not necessarily. Actually, it could be. It's definitely. Yeah, it's.
I've not heard of this. I will definitely.
It is amazing. They did one on like HeroScape. It was hilarious where, you know, one person in HeroScape, one person is sets up the world and the everyone else is playing, and they're like, oh yeah, remember how great this was? And then they played the game. Oh, it's, I'm not going to spoil anything. They did Dinosaur Island in Jurassic Park style. There's just so many good things. So many good things. All right.
Not to get too off topic, but you said Dinosaur Island, which reminded me of Fireball Island, which is that the same game like from the 90s?
Fireball Island is the same game from the 90s, but redone.
Because I definitely had that game.
Yes.
But not really.
But yes.
So it's from Restoration Games, not to get super off topic. So Restoration Games, their goal is to make it the game you remember playing, not the game you actually used to play, because usually your memories of the game are colored in a very fond light.
I did not like that game. It was one of those, like, I don't
they
know,
changed Milton it Bradley so there's actual,
it's,
yeah.
It's a roll and move with, like, I don't know.
Marbles?
With a marble kinetic element in it.
Yeah. They try to change things so that there are rules that are fun to play and make sense. They are not just reprints of old games.
Yep.
Okay.
They're a really
cool company.
Yeah. Basically, Kitty nailed it. What Restoration Games does, they take a game and make it as fun as you remember it being, even though it's not the game.
Or
that
more
you,
fun.
You played. Or
if
more
you
fun.
You were, you know, a cynical child like Fletcher apparently was.
I was like, this game is boring.
Well, they did say
that. No skill. I'm just moving around. And then, like, what I would do is I'd set up the game and I'd just push marbles out of the mouth just to see where they went. I'm like, okay, that's it. It's like Mousetrap.
I was just going to say, like Mousetrap. You never actually played the game. You just set up the trap and then set it off.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Okay, that was enough.
Well, that was fun.
One of the founders of the company was Rob Davio, and he is basically invented the Legacy series of games. And so he's a been in the game industry forever. So he's like, yeah, we're just taking these games and we're going to actually put development time into them as opposed to just reprinting them with the rules as they are. So just, and those are the types of things like inside the box. I think they did a Fireball Island. I didn't watch that one yet, but I'm pretty sure they did one of it. They did a Game of Thrones, the card game one when second edition came. Oh, it's just so good. Just watch every one of the inside the box ones. They're just hilarious. And then, okay, I'm going to stop talking about podcasts and YouTubes and things that I watch. How are you doing, Kitty? Silent sneezing over there.
I'm doing my best. Yeah. I wasn't going to talk about the fact that I disappeared to go find tissues. Thanks for bringing that up, Chris. Did you guys talk about it while I was out of the room and I missed it?
No. We just brought it up right now.
Because let's be honest, you guys could just disappear for 20 minutes and nobody would know the difference. I would just keep talking.
Yeah, I assume you just kept talking the whole time. Like Fletcher didn't pick it up, right? No, it was just you.
Yeah. No, I picked it up. Okay. I totally did.
You did a little bit. All right. For people who don't listen to a lot of board game media, why are you on a podcast for board game media?
Well, I fill a specific slot in this podcast. I have a very specific role in this podcast, and we all know what it is.
Being American Josh?
Being American Josh.
I would say you bring a questioning attitude to the podcast that is very... It's nice to have somebody who doesn't listen to all of the media out there, because then you have questions that we might not have thought of.
Like,
if that makes sense.
Is Fireball Island the same game from the 80s? And yes. What does ludology mean? And those are things that oftentimes I will just kind of assume. Actually, I don't assume. I just forget that people might not know.
Yeah. So that's why Fletcher's here. I would say I consume enough media. I just don't consume regular media. I'm not a big subscriber, but I am constantly kind of dabbling in the world. And that came from me being somebody who wasn't a big consumer, who then came onto the podcast because I like playing games and talking about playing games with my friends. So that's how I ended up here.
And why do you keep doing it? Like, and really thinking kind of a meta way, because we've talked about this, you know, periodically over, I think we did a meta episode, like how we make the podcast way long ago, like, I think it's episode 19 or something like that. But
we talked about metagaming and meta podcasting.
And yeah, metagaming and the podcast in a meta way. But why do we do this every week? We don't get paid for it. Like, we have the Patreon that covers the bills. Barely. Like, I don't even think it does cover everything after when you start looking at giveaways and stuff like that. I don't think we break even. But why do we keep doing this? Every single week, we like will drop everything to make sure we get an episode out. This is our 141st week, and we've never missed a week. And we've gotten married. You've given birth during, like,
during the podcast.
Almost.
Right there, live. Go find the episode, new listeners.
Were back on air like 3 days after.
Yes. So we recorded early that Friday. I had a baby on Sunday. And then the following Sunday, I think we recorded.
Yeah.
So
It's like
1 week after having a baby.
So why do we do this?
I mean, it's fun.
All right.
I like getting together and talking.
It's true.
It gives me a reason to play games. I think that without the podcast, it would be easy for me to not find time to sit down and play games. There's, you know, I have a 1-year-old. I have a lot on my plate. It's easy to not make time for myself, which is why I just watched Infinity Wars this week, because I was like, I can't go see Endgame because I haven't seen Infinity Wars, and I can't, like, That's the level of not having time. I know. But I had to watch...
It's not hard.
Well, I had to watch Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok. And like,
you had to watch 26 other films before
I had to watch like 19 movies this week. And then I was like, I might as well just start back at Iron Man and go all the way through.
I think AMC was doing a whole marathon. You could have gotten it over in one day.
You can't. You have a 1-year-old.
I have a 1-year-old. I can't manage
it's fine.
3 hours to go see the one movie. So yeah, you know, having the reason to play is great. It makes me try games that I wouldn't have picked up otherwise. And I love our listeners. We get so much great feedback and input from our listeners. You get to hear these voices. You get to meet people at conventions. We get to play games with people like Tim and Christy and Steve and like all these people who listen to us, who then we get to like meet out in the world. And it's just, it's something unique that not a lot of people I know are doing. So it's a fun thing for me.
What about you, Chris? Fletcher? No, Fletcher first, because Fletcher was really tricky. I'm like, hey, Fletcher, this was way back. What was our drinking game episode? The number?
I don't know, like 60
something.
Six? I thought it was like 31.
Yeah, I think it's like in the 30s. Was it in
the 30s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My so goodness.
We were going to do a drinking game episode. And well, we were gonna. We did. And
we did. We succeeded.
Yeah. And last minute.
We succeeded in drinking.
Well, last minute, game. Josh couldn't make it. So I'm like, okay, well, Fletcher lives down the street. So let me give Fletcher a call and see if he's willing to, you know, jump on a podcast. And he's like, sure. When? I'm like 3 hours? He's like, right. Okay, sure. So he just came over and we started day drinking on a Saturday. It was a great episode.
I mean, it's not a hard sell. It's like, hey, do you want to drink free booze and play games? I'm going to record you. Is that okay? Like, yeah, it's fine.
And that's all on YouTube. That's one of my still most favorite episodes. It is episode
just 30.
Episode 30. All right.
Plain old 30.
Yep. And
drinking games.
So, and I always wanted to have you back on, but it, you know, and the number of times that Josh would not be able to come on at any given time, it's like, okay, well, Sydney's right here or Spencer's right here, or, you know, it was just always easier to turn to a significant other. And when Josh was not able, he's like, you know, I just don't have a lot of time and this isn't like a priority focus for me. I like doing it, but you know what? It was different for him than for us. Like, we wanted to make sure we were dropping every Tuesday. He's like, no, you can go ahead. You can record without me. It's like, all right, well, it's different when it's just two of us. I think Kitty and I did one episode with just the two of us.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Eerie.
Yeah, we can only do that when it's scripted. But so when we're
Who would listen to a podcast of just me and Chris?
Dice Tower News every Friday. That was a good plug, right? So when we were thinking about, like, if we want to get a permanent replacement for Josh, who would that be? You immediately jumped to mind. And then when I asked you, it was like, you just automatically said yes. Why?
Because, well, first of all, I like hanging out with you guys.
Aw.
who wouldn't?
I know.
I also used to have a podcast back in the day with a former roommate of mine. And I had a lot of fun doing that. And I always thought about I wanted to get back into it. For those of you who don't know, I used to have a very small, tiny career in radio, and I just like being behind the microphone. I also really like playing games, and the way that Chris described my role on the podcast, I was like, this completely fits, like, you know, me in general. Like, I like playing board games. A lot of people who don't play board games would consider me to be like, I don't know, someone like Chris, what I consider Chris to be.
It's all relative.
It's all relative, obviously. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm totally down. It sounds like a lot of fun. And that's why I said yes.
And you've done almost 20 episodes now?
Has it been 20?
Almost. I don't remember. What was the first one that you were on that we did?
I don't know, like 130?
Well, if it's 1:30, then it's only 11 episodes, but that still seems like you've been here longer. But I guess we talk in weeks, so 11 weeks is still almost 3 months. Man, time flies.
I know.
Yeah, because episode 128 was when Zach was born.
Oh, you were here then.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it has been a little longer.
It's 127.
127 is when we did the switch?
Yeah.
And sweet. Yeah, time flies. That's been like 14 episodes already.
Yep.
I know, I'm trying to think if we should do something for 150 or if we should just wait till 200. We'll have something for 150. It won't be too fanfare-y, though.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. Like I say, why do I do it? That was a question, right?
Yep.
All right, I'll ask myself.
Chris. I asked you and then you said no. And that was it. You only got the one ask.
I like having the last word, darn it. which I won't have because we're going to go over to our input thread from our listeners after this, and we're going to see what they listen to and what they do.
But first, we're going to jump on the Chris train.
All right. Choo-choo. Every week that I edit this, I have our three different files. So just for... And anyone who's been
the curtain?
Yeah, anyone who's been listening to us for a while knows this. But when we first started recording, we Josh, Kitty, and I recorded in person. We were in the same room, and we just recorded directly to – I have a Zoom H6, and I would mix it down into an MP3, and I would literally post it with no editing.
It helped when everyone was in the same city.
Yes.
As soon as everybody went away, you're like, hey, Fletcher.
Yeah. We literally in the same building. Or at least when Josh moved out, he was like a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
But then we all moved to different places. And it took us a while to get the remote recording fluid. So it does require me to do a little bit more editing. And when I put together R3, so the way we do this, if anyone who's interested in recording a podcast, don't...
It's not hit like 30 seconds forward. It's
fine. Yeah. Don't record from Discord or Skype or any of that. You've listened to podcasts where people are doing, talking, and as a regular person and their microphone's all messed up and it sounds tinny and they're cutting out and dropping out. That's because whoever's recording it is recording directly from Skype or directly from Discord. Don't do that. What we do is we are talking over Discord right now, but every one of us is recording to our own audio recorder, not to the computer because computer software can crash. We are recording to basically to an SD card. At the end of the episode, Kitty and Fletcher will send me their audio files, and I put that into Audacity, which is a free video or audio editing software. And then I look at the waveforms, and I see 90% on mine, and occasionally a blurb on Fletcher's, and about 10% on Kitty's. It really is crazy. I just talk too much, and I apologize for that.
I think it just shows up that way because Fletcher does a lot of the talking at the beginning. But you do a lot of beginning talking and then we get into a conversation.
Yes.
Because I would notice that because I occasionally when she feels like I do a podcast with my sister, I'm going to blame that all on her right now. And it would be the same thing, but it would be I do a lot of the introducing the topic and then it would go to more to a conversation. But when you're looking at the beginning of the recording, it's all like, oh, I do all the talking. I'm really carrying the show. Yeah.
I'm going to put a screenshot into the show notes. So if you're a patron, you can see that screenshot. So when I edit together, I strip out the silences because the biggest problem with recording remotely is the transitions more than anything else. And we don't realize it. Like when we're talking, we actually are talking in real time to each other, but we're a second or two off. Which you don't notice in normal conversation, but you really notice when you listen back to it.
Yeah. The only time you notice when we're recording, or at least the only time I notice, is when we all say our names at the beginning.
Yeah. Yep.
When you're waiting for the next person to jump in, you're like, oh, this is taking longer than I thought it should.
But when you guys are listening to this podcast, you don't hear any of those silences. That's the one thing I end up doing. And then I level everything out so that our voices are all at the same level. And... that's another thing, a pet peeve of mine with podcasts where, someone's talks really quiet and someone else is talking really loud and you have to like ride the volume knob as you're listening. Not with us. I take pains in making sure that that's not there. But why do I do the podcast? I like it.
You didn't let me off with that kind of an answer. Come on, Chris.
So I like teaching, I guess is my big thing. I like teaching. I like sharing knowledge with people. And really part of that comes from I like having conversations about subjects, about things and being challenged on that. And if when not being challenged on it, just kind of like having other ideas pop into that. And it's one of the reasons why I really like having feedback and input because other people's opinions can help you broaden your own ideas and opinions. I also think that like I say, I do a lot of listening to different things and just absorbing that it feels kind of useless to me. I need to spit it back out. I need to like share and digest what I'm getting in and spit it back out so other people can have a different take on it, I guess.
It's interesting because so I don't listen to our podcast. I let Sydney do that for me and send me text messages Tuesday morning. I love Sydney's Tuesday morning text messages. But because it's so like, so when I'm listening to somebody else's podcast and I have a thought that I want to like say, it feels like that's a, oh, I'll save this and I can talk about it on my podcast. It's like a response to all of the things I take in. But when I listen to our own podcast, I have this like, oh, I should say this thing. And then often I say it because I said it a week ago and I have forgotten that I said it. And it feels weird and it's too uncanny for me to listen to myself talk about.
When I'm listening to our own podcast, I listen to it as if I'm not on the podcast, as if I'm not one of the people. And I will find myself laughing along and things like that. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm actually entertained by
you're
this.
Vain.
Maybe it could be.
Are you not entertained?
I have gotten to the point where listening to my own voice is something I can do without it like driving me crazy. So I don't know. Maybe that's vanity. But yeah, I just love doing it. And I don't think I have missed an episode. I think I've been on every single episode.
There was one Kickstarter edition you weren't on.
That is true. It was you and Josh and you did the editing for that one. So one Kickstarter edition. We were in Europe at the time.
Yeah.
Yep. But all of
take that, Chris.
All right. Let's get to some input on this. Why don't, Kitty, you kick us off?
All right. I'll start. From Anne, she says she has 12 YouTube channels that she subscribed to. But the big ones are Rotto Runs Through, John Gets Games, Watch It Played, and Ant Lab Games. You'll notice they are all focused on playthroughs or rules videos. And then she goes on to talk about the podcast she listens to, listing Tabletop Game Talk first, of course.
Of course.
And Jamie Stagmeyer's Sunday Sit Down.
Now, this is one I didn't know existed, and I'm going to add to my list because I like Jamie Stagmeyer. I like what he does. He does a YouTube channel as well, and I'll occasionally watch those things, but
he's also got a blog. He's on Twitter.
Yeah.
I follow that. So
he's a phenomenon in gaming. Like he's a one man show for Stonemaier Games, you know, Scythe, Wingspan, Viticulture. Like he does a great job there. So Joe says he subscribes to about a dozen and a half different podcasts, but he only listens to two or three of them on a regular basis, ours being one of them. Also, I want to thank everybody for, kissing up, I guess. Or
that's a polite way to put it.
Yeah, we appreciate it. There was a lot of very positive things about our podcast. I honestly have no idea why you guys listen to us, but I super appreciate that you do. But Joe also says he listens to Dice Tower, Dukes of Dice. Well, these are things that he has on his list. Dukes of Dice, Board Game Blitz, Victory Points, Ludology, Blue Peg, Pink Peg, Rolling Dice and Taking Names, So Very Wrong About Games, Why Did You Play This, or What Did You Play This Week, Heavy Cardboard, Mile High Games, and etc. He says for most of these things, though, it'll be subject based as to whether or not he listens to it. And I know for a fact that a lot of people do that to our podcast as well, because I can look at different download numbers.
We can watch
numbers.
The episodes.
Yep. Yeah. And it's surprising to me sometimes, like, what will cause spikes. Like, I'm like, whoa, I did not think that that was going to be a really successful one. He does mention, he's like, I have so very much wanted to start a board gaming podcast / blog. I have a few entries on BGG and even had plans going into this year to cover online implementations of games. However, as I start to work on it, it just didn't click and ended up falling off my radar. I also found an app called Anchor that made podcasting easy, but it's hard to find the time, quiet time, in a house with six kids to put a podcast together. And I think that this is, you know, what we're just talking about. We take this podcast as something that, not necessarily that we have to do, but a priority of something that we want to do. And if you're not able to do that, it's really hard to like keep
Even
a podcast going.
Sometimes we push back to Monday nights so that some people can watch Game of Thrones.
Like tonight.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you guys watch that episode last night?
I did.
Nope.
Yeah. We're not going to spoil anything, but it was worth being pushed back.
Sure. Sounds good. I watched, what did I watch last night? Civil War. That's where
the
I am.
Ken
in
Burns
my...
documentary?
All right. Oh,
I got to catch the Doctor Strange reference in Captain America Civil War. It's great. Highly recommend starting at the beginning and watching through. It's totally fun. And by this weekend, I will totally be able to actually go to the theater and watch a movie. I have a babysitter. I'm psyched.
Nice. I'm attempting to do that same thing. All right, Fletcher.
All right. Eric Dodd writes, I still prefer to listen to podcasts because it suits my commuting and workplace. I have about an hour a day of travel and up to 2 hours when I can listen to work while doing Monday tasks. That's same. I do the same thing. So I listen to Table Talk, Game Talk, The Dice Tower, Onboard Games, This Game is Broken, Ludology, Breaking into Board Games, Board Game Insider, Funding the Dream, and Ken and Robin Talk About Stuff. I only go to videos when I want to look up a particular game.
Yeah, Ken and Robin Talk About Stuff. Ken Height is basically a really big name in the role-playing game things. But that's another one, kind of like The Download, where it's just a couple game designers that talk. And I've tried listening to them a couple times. Their podcast is a bit long for me, but it's really good content if you like that kind of thing.
All right, we've got some feedback from Jason Rodney. He says, when it comes to media about the board game hobby, I was first introduced to how to play videos on YouTube. From there, I went to a whole world of content providers. My go-to media is podcasts and YouTube. Rotto, Rodney, Tom, Tantrum House, Tabletop Game Talk, and Man vs. Meeple are my main go-to. Your podcast is the best for the social aspect of gaming. Aww. Listening to Tabletop Game Talk has improved my interaction with my game group and gamers I meet in stores and conventions.
Yeah, I think that...
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I like that we talk about topics as opposed to games, just because so many other podcasts talk about games. It's more just kind of a way of setting ourselves apart. And it's a whole lot easier to talk about topics. To talk about games, you got to actually play them. And you guys are not able to play as many games as a weekly podcast would require.
Well, yeah. We're all like an hour away from each other. Equidistant, like an hour away.
Yep.
So it's hard
to really
get together.
I'm really excited. I just got a new Kickstarter today that I've been looking forward to. Welterweights showed up.
Ooh.
Is it a boxing game?
It is a boxing game. It's a programming boxing game. It does.
All right. We're going to run a little long, but that's okay. Trevor Davis.
What else is new?
Sent us. He's like, game watching is a real thing. A friend of mine played Pandemic with two of my kids and me. We're getting the boys ready to play Pandemic Legacy Season 1. And he asked several times that we record our Legacy play on Twitch. He says, I would love to watch you guys play through it. He's played through Season 1 with his wife and is dying for us to start and record what we watch. Now, I think what's interesting here is we didn't cover Twitch or even really watching people play board games. There are a few channels that I will watch occasionally. I think Game Night is one of them. This, to me, is not something I feel driven to do, like watching people play board games, until I actually start watching them. And then I get hooked. And I've watched a game go for like 2.5 hours. And I think, why did I do that? And there's just something about it it can be really compelling, especially if you have interesting people playing the game. I don't know. Have you guys watched an entire board game be played?
I have not.
I don't know how
Twitch
works
because
I'm old.
Yeah, I guess in some of the like watch it played, sometimes I'll go through and like play the entire game with a few people.
Well, back when Will Wheaton was doing Tabletop, I think it was just called Tabletop, he would get him and his celebrity friends together and they would play a game on YouTube and people would watch that and they would do kind of like the confessional style interviews and things like that while the game was being played. It was really, really well done. I miss it. And whenever that game, whenever they decided to play a game on that channel, it would like sell thousands of extra copies. Like it'd sell out everywhere because that channel was so popular watching them play. Now they were playing at a production level that is harder than most people can do.
Yeah.
But there's a few channels out there that come pretty close to that kind of production level. It's pretty good. And they usually teach the game as you're playing it. So.
Is it my turn?
It is.
Okay.
You're up.
So Sean Peck writes, when I fell back in love with board games about 2 years ago, I wanted to be completely immersed in all the media I could find. I listen to podcasts when I'm doing almost anything else to learn as much as I can. Watching YouTube videos for reviews and instructions has also become a big thing for me.
Yeah, and I know Sean is also has a YouTube video or YouTube channel. I think it's called Peck Tech, where he does interviews. And yeah,
that's a good name.
And this is, I've done this too. Like, you get into it and you just want to listen to everything and consume everything. I now listen to way too many podcasts. Thank God for 1.5.
How many KeyForge podcasts are you still listening to?
So I'm subscribed to like 4 or 5. The only one that's actually doing any kind of regular releases, though, is Bouncing Death Quark, which is, it's not a bad one. The other ones, I think.
Check that one out.
Yeah.
I think they've slowed down now that there's not as much new content.
Yeah, they've
I'm expecting pod-faded. Some of them to come back, though, when they release the next set of cards.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that once someone starts a podcast and they do a few episodes and it kind of fades away, it's almost dead. I'm still subscribed to them just in case something comes back, but I don't have my hopes set up for that. All right. Adrian sent us a very long, well, didn't send us, put it on Board Game Geek, a very long, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but go to Board Game Geek, tabletopgametalk.com/BGG, and go to the input thread for Board Game Media, and you will get to see Adrian's full post. But she says she has essentially 3 categories of podcasts, one that she always listens to, ones that she listens to almost all the time, but will skip certain segments, and then one that is basically based on subjects. And her go-tos are, we're first, of course, TGT. And then the Dice Tower News. Nice. I like that, Adrian. Double. I like that. Then the Dice Tower, Board Game Blitz, On Board Games, Board Games Anonymous, Board Games Insider, Breaking Into Board Games, Meeple Overboard, The 5x, and Ludology. So those are her go-tos. One of the ones I want to call out is Rotto Talks Through is one of her that she'll skip around in segments. And he sets that up so you can kind of skip around pretty well in there. She's like, for video, she leans towards things that are like news and a brief discussions of games. And then as in like top tens for regular consumption, she'll listen to the Dice Tower Board Game Breakfast. That is a very good, it comes out every Monday, and there it's kind of a variety show. So a lot of the supporters for board game or for the Dice Tower, they'll send in 2-minute clips, and you'll get to see just a bunch of different people doing 2-minute videos about different topics, and they put that all together. So that's what Board Game Breakfast is. It's really good. Also, Board Game or Dice Tower does a lot of top tens, which are really entertaining because it'll be Sam, Z, and Tom, and they have a lot of friendly jabbing at each other and stuff. It's a very entertaining watch. And then Dice Tower Tonight is kind of a live show that will, I think it's Crystal and Eric Summer are the ones that do that now, and they'll just kind of just do live show and chat with the people that are watching at the time. So those are always good things. And then let's see, for learning games, she does Rodney Smith's Watch It Play. As far as mainstream, I did ask on the input thread if people have seen board games in mainstream media, and for the most part, I think that everyone comes to the conclusion that there's just not a lot of board game representation in mainstream media.
I think they played Settlers of Catan once on Big Bang Theory.
Or you see like Monopoly on like a table when that like no one's really playing it, just there, and then some, you know, like Kramer bursts into the room and it's like, oh, just forget what.
Oh, there is that whole episode of Seinfeld about Risk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. I think I see Scrabble a lot too.
Isn't somebody like carrying the Risk board around on the subway at some point because they're concerned about cheating?
I do not.
It's been a long time since I watched
it. Yeah, that was.
I was, yeah, like a child, not to. I just called myself old. So I feel like now I'm backtracking that by like, yeah, I was a kid when I watched this.
I will say the movie Game Night is mildly entertaining. It is mainstream games, but it's. And it really has nothing to do with the games. They just get together and then they think that they're in a game, but really they're some kind of crime thing going on. But anyway, it is an entertaining watch if you like games. Just remember, it's more of a comedy action type of thing than it is really about board games. All right, let's do some listener mail, shall we? Kitty, you want to go first?
I feel like maybe you should go first.
Oh, I never go first. All right, I'll go first. Grant writes us on industry disruptors. He says, I like to go to my local game store on my lunch break. That's really the only time I go. He has two small children, so doesn't have a whole lot of time for gaming. He says, while I was looking around, the owner and a regular customer are having a conversation that really sounded familiar. They were discussing how Kickstarter and Amazon are killing the business. They were in Kitty's court by saying large companies should not be using the platform for pre-ordering and should allow space for regular folks to showcase their indie games. The owner also made me laugh by saying that if people want to suckle at the teat of Amazon, go right ahead. They mentioned a pay-to-play system where that money would go to gift cards so that person could put the money back into the store, which I thought was really neat. It seems as though we are in a turning point in the industry and hobby, and we just have to brace ourselves. So the reason I wanted to bring this one up, because I think it is interesting, but we've talked ad nauseum about this, and again, Kitty will get mad at me if I talk too much, but the Covenant cast just did an episode where they are talking about some changes they're doing at their store. And it does involve, they have like a monthly membership that will give you free entry into any of the organized play nights they're doing. They're trying to get rid of organized play tournaments. So instead, it's more just open play and you get participation prizes. And then there's random drawings for like the bigger prizes, because they think that tournament play is actually kind of a turnoff for a lot of people, because if you can't win, you just get, you know, you're going, you get beat a lot. And they're like, well, people who want to play, they're going to come and play regardless of whether or not it's a tournament. And by making it more casual, we'll get more people in the store. So they also have been on record saying a number of times that really right now, the thing that gaming stores offer is a space to play and a place to build community. And that's the part that if a gaming store really wants to stay in business, that's what they have to learn how to monetize in a way that customers are okay with, because you're not going to make money off of the margins on games because people can go online and get them for so cheap. So I think it's an interesting read or interesting listen. If you have a board game store, you know someone who does, check out the last episode of the Covenant cast. It's pretty good.
Yeah. My friend who is really big into Warhammer, basically anybody I know that is really big into Warhammer, they always go to like a store or like a specialized store that has like a Warhammer setup, just a giant table where they can, and they have all the, I don't know, like terrain and
measuring
stuff.
Implements and tools, yeah. and terrain
and stuff that they can place on the table that everybody can like agree on, and then all the measurement tools and everything. And that's how they like to play, because having a big open spot like that and a big table, it just takes up an entire room. Which, I mean, Chris, I know you have room for, but the rest of us, we have to go to the game store to get something like that.
Yeah. All right, Kitty.
So we're back to Adrian, which is why I thought you should go first. We wanted to take an Adrian break. But so Adrian had some feedback on RPGs. She says, I've appreciated the entire series on RPGs. I've not played RPGs, and I didn't think I'd like them. So with the board game media I have consumed that sometimes covers RPGs, I normally skip those discussions. Since I always enjoy your discussions, even though I'm not fond of the subject, I thought I'd do the same with RPGs. I did learn a lot, but the main thing I learned was a confirmation that RPGs are not for me. When you talk about the things you thought were really fun, it didn't excite me. And I haven't yet been able to put my finger on why that is. I do like a good story. Someday I hope to maybe be able to articulate it. In the meantime, thanks for helping me know that I'm not missing out using my definition of fun by not playing RPGs.
I love this. This is the biggest thanks for wasting my time for 3 weeks. I kid, Adrian. I know that's not what you're trying to say, but
no, I think it's nice that, you know, sometimes you like to hear like, oh, yeah, I'm right about myself. And now I don't have to do a thing that I wouldn't have enjoyed anyway. You know? Yeah.
Well, and I think her point here is valid. And it's always been something that, you know, we talk about different things and we try to make the subjects always interesting, even if you don't agree. And potentially, especially if you don't agree or you weren't really sure if you'd like it. And, you know, we sway you one way or the other just by how we talk about, well, not about how we talk about it, but by what we are bringing to the subject. And if we can do that, it doesn't matter if I convince you to play role-playing games or convince you that you would never want to play them. That's still value added in my mind.
I'm really excited to get Adrian's email in the future that's like, I figured it out. This is why I hate them. So I'm waiting.
All right. On the other end of that spectrum,
Tim Waterman writes in, on RPGs, your three-part RPG topic came at a pretty good time for me. I recently started DMing a group with without ever having played. Wow, that's pretty challenging. I spent the last year trying to get into a group as a player, but I couldn't make it happen. Turns out, if you insulated the DM's sister...
Insulted
the DM's sister painting on his wall years ago, you'll never get into the...
Let's do it this way. Turns out, if you insult the DM's sister's painting on his wall years ago, you're never getting into his group.
Oh, yeah.
You're the radio person.
Yeah, I didn't have to read things.
To read.
It was just banter. So I'm driving in headlong, spending way too much time creating a campaign worlds that give my players a lot of freedom. I think we've all had a lot of fun in the three game sessions so far, despite them having the most dysfunctional party ever. Having the dragonborn barbarian be the character with the highest charisma creates a lot of dangerous yet humorous encounters.
I will say that I'm pretty sure everybody thinks that their RPG group is the most dysfunctional group ever. And it's probably the reason we play RPGs.
Yeah.
I think that the more you try to balance your RPG group, the more you accidentally break it. Yep. Like our group of no perception.
You're the only one who doesn't have perception. Everyone else is totally fine at it.
No, only half of us are trained in it, and they don't have good scores. It's bad. It's bad, Chris. We're going to get killed by everything.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Well, speaking of that, he says he's looking forward to our actual play feed. He's a big fan of
Drunks and Dragons.
Yep. So, speaking of our actual play feed, I'm going to say it now, so I have to do it. The first episode will be up on Patreon around the same time that this episode is up on Patreon. And... we will, the other two, which will be the middle and the conclusion of the first adventure, will come up within the next week or so. I'm really working on how to streamline the editing process. It just takes about 5 to 6 hours per hour of editing. So, but it should end up being cool. We're still working on a name. We have something we might like.
We have a working title.
But the stuff that will be on Patreon will just be the middle section. There won't be any intro or outro bumpers, but working on those as well. I think we're going to probably keep this on our Patreon for a while. It's probably going to be probably 2 months before it'll come out on a regular channel, just so we can get everything kind of all straightened out and get a good style going. But if you are interested in hearing that in real time, check out our Patreon page at tabletopgametalk.com/Patreon. All right. I think news and announcements. Our next convention is Origins, although we'll be there. We're not going to do anything special, but if you're at Origins and you want to play a game, let me know. I think I'm the only one that's going to be there, right? You guys are not going to be there?
That is correct.
Jen? Nope,
that's my engagement party.
Yes. And I'm devastated by this. Ugh. I'm going to FaceTime into your engagement party from Origins.
Okay.
Gen Con, I did put in the submission for our live show, which is going to be Friday at 6. It hasn't been approved yet, but typically they don't move things around. I haven't heard anything yet. So I will confirm when that happens, but that is the current time for that.
And I will not be there because it's my cousin's 30th birthday party. And I know I say it's my cousin, but she's really more like my sister.
It's fair. I'm still trying to get you to Game Hole Con.
I'll be there.
And you'll be there.
Which is my birthday. So I probably also won't be there.
Your
timing this year is really bad.
Yeah, we're just going to have to move around your birthday next year.
Well, maybe we'll see if Josh, because Josh usually goes to Gen Con, so maybe he'll be a surprise guest at Gen Con. All right, you can follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter is Tabletop Game TLK, Kitty is Lawful Good Mom, Fletcher is Net Fletch, I am Game Master Chris. And that's good enough. Kitty.
Tabletop Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening, and remember, we love your feedback. So email us with comments or questions about today's topic at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com.
Finally, a huge thank you to our patrons. Adam Harrison, The SGC, Thomas Acciaretti, Jason Strong, Terrence Miltner, Stephen Seitz, Michael Old, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Wong, Stephen Phillips, Caleb O'Brien,
Jennifer Ingelbrecht, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, David Radke, Nick Quickstra, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Loom, Phil Schwartzel, Ann Reynolds, Eric Huffman, Adrian Dong,
Christopher Vincent, Nate Faslintham, Sean Peck, Eric Sealander, Mike Smith, Trevor Davis, Wesley Trailer, Tim Vernig, Chris Lowe, Joe Hoover, Timothy Gross, Glenn Cotter, Jesse Wolkowiak, Barry Peterson, Ben Gary, Emil Jewel Jacobson, Marina Stevens, Brady Meltzer, Gregory Huber, Don Gilstrap, and Stephen Judd.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.
Crazy weather again.
Oh my gosh, it snowed again.
It was we were at Gaming Hoopla and it was a blizzard. We got out April 28th. I think it was April 28th because it was, or maybe it was the 27th. Yeah. I don't know.
It was Saturday.
April 27th. There was 8 inches of snow on the car. The next day, it was all gone. But Game of Thrones is cool. And we're done.